Blog Talk Radio.
Elliott Fry comes out on the field. Patrick Fish to hold a 43-yard field goal again. Snap it back. Kick it up. Is it long enough? It is. Is it good? It is! Elliott Fry, 43 yards out.
You're now listening to Fried Fish, the podcast. Brought to you by Creighton Davis Company, starring Patrick Fish and Elliott Fry.
Wow, that intro gave me chills. Welcome, everybody, to podcast number two.
We're back.
Fried Fish Podcast, Patrick Fish and Elliott Fry.
How you guys doing?
We got a lot to discuss. How you been doing, Elliott?
Yeah, well, I've been doing fantastic. Before we go any farther, Fish, you know, we got to thank our fans out there. We actually had four fans from the great country of Mexico and one fan listening from the UK. So, you know, hola and gracias to you guys. Fish, you know, clarify this for me. We're now a global podcast.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Internationally known.
And so, you know, with that, I mean, and then that's a big deal. I mean, first podcast, first episode, we weren't even that proud of it. You know, we think we could do better content, but we're already reaching, you know, 2,000 miles out east and maybe, you know, a couple hundred down south. I mean, we're global. So
yeah, we took a step across the pond, across the Atlantic over to the UK. And I tell you what, that's pretty impressive in my book.
And I'll tell you what, you know, my dad always taught me, shoot for the stars. And if you miss, you'll land in the UK or Mexico. So,
and you'll bring back the moon. I believe that.
And you'll bring, and that's, yep, that's the next part.
No, but like I was saying, we have a lot to talk about today. Our Gamecocks took on the Wofford Terriers yesterday and somewhat of a nail biter there at the beginning. And then, the Gamecocks ran away with it with a 31-10 victory on Senior Day in Williams-Brice Stadium. So, Fry, did you get a chance to make it to the game yesterday? I didn't mean to ask you that. I think we clarified that earlier. You just sat at your apartment. You didn't really do anything.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Patrick. You know, I've been a stone cold hard fan for this whole season, and it's starting to take a toll on me. And I said, you know, if there's one game I'm not going to make it to, it's going to be Wofford. And so I sat at home and I watched the entire game. You know, I didn't know if I wanted to stand for a total of 3 or 4 hours that game, but I was cheering on the old Cox from back home.
It's a little disrespectful, not only to our seniors on their senior day, but to the 9-1 Wofford Terriers. They aren't a bad football team. They run that triple option like it's supposed to be ran. Those guys, I mean, and that is hard to stop. But,
you know, it is.
Our Gamecocks really seemed to turn the intensity up on defense. Had a couple interceptions, some forced fumbles. Dante Sawyer had his fifth forced fumble, which is tied for the most in the nation right now, which I think is pretty impressive. And then Sky Moore with his 14th career interception to tie the school record for INT. So good for those guys on their senior day in Williams-Brice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Sky, who's obviously been through, you know, everything that he's been through. And, you know, I personally thought he was definitely going to at least tie that record. And I really hope he gets another interception to kind of break that and, you know, move into the Gamecock history books, if you will.
Yeah, that would be awesome to get that record against Clemson. That would be huge. And by the way, when I was in town last weekend, Sky looks like a machine on the field. He looks massive, like compared to 2 years ago when we saw him running around. He looks a lot bigger for some reason. Maybe it's just I'm a lot smaller now.
That guy
is a mammoth.
Yeah, no, well, you know, in the off season, you know, he's been pretty thin for his whole career. He's something like 4% body fat, just some, you know, stupid abnormal you know, thing that he has going
freak
on there.
He's
just an absolute freak, you know, kinda like you and me. But he's put on just 10 to 15 pounds of pure muscle in the off season, which is, you know, hard to do and still stay that lean. For those of you who don't know, I'm like 11% body fat and I'm a pretty thin dude. Sky's like 4%. So, that gives you just a little feedback there.
You're 11% body fat at 133 pounds.
Yeah, it's not looking good, not impressive whatsoever. It's not good. You know, but
do you think Sky is like that because what Muschamp's done or what Coach Dielman in the weight room has done? Do you think that has had an effect on how Sky has sort of gained this weight or put on some good looking pounds? Do you think that's in respect to Coach Dielman and Coach Muschamp?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sky too. You know, I think he missed a year, kind of missed it a little bit, and kind of, you know, like anybody would, you want to get back out there and be better than ever, especially for your senior season. But, you know, Coach Dielman, he's really working on building size on our players, which we've been heavily undersized the past few years that I was playing. We would go up against teams like Georgia and Tennessee and A&M, and they just looked 10 times bigger than all of us. Coach Dielman's done a great job of just putting size on everybody. Like if another guy like Chris Lamont, you look at him last year versus this year, you know, he's just put on some rock hard muscle, you know?
Yeah. From what I've seen just since I've not played for a couple of years now, we had some bigger guys back when I played, Reggie Bowens, some big D linemen, obviously Clowney. I mean, who can forget that guy? But
yeah, we had a drought
right now,
after
like
Clowney
this,
though.
Yeah. But this looks like one of the biggest teams we've had in a couple of years. And I think part of that is just we can credit Muschamp on that, really. It's just because he's a psycho.
Yeah, he's finding
bigger guys.
Coach
Dielman's a psycho, and they just make people get after it in the weight room.
Yeah, geez. I mean, you're absolutely right. Dielman is a, you know, both two of just the scariest, but also at the same time, funnest guys you'll ever meet in your life. You know, they make you want to work hard out of fear. But at the same time, they're like, you know, hey, we're cool. We're bros. So, you know, that was really cool to be a part of that.
Yeah, it seems like it makes it a little bit more enjoyable when you can have a conversation outside of the weight room about something other than weights.
Or outside
of practice about something
making
other than practice.
Making fun of people, making fun of other people is usually what it comes down to.
So now what's your outlook on what Coach Muschamp has done here? Just since you played while you were playing and now that you're seeing it from a fan's perspective.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, I call him Bill, just to piss him off a little bit. I don't call him, Will, but, no, he's done an incredible job. If you look at just everything going down to, you know, just every little thing that a whole football team, you know, does, you know, he controls it and he makes it better. And not only fun, but also, you know, brings kind of this intensity to everything that the team does. It's even funny, you know, and I know a lot of teams do this, but you look at when you go in the bathrooms at like any football team, they have like a little urine chart to show like the colors of kind of like, you know, this is a, you know, if you have really light colored pee or whatever, you know, it's healthy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you have really, you know, and we had those when I was there, but they changed it. It's
supposed to look like apple juice is what I've heard.
Yeah, a little bit lighter, actually. But it used to, you know, it used to just have the chart and kind of how dehydrated you were. Now, you know, and just makes it hilarious, but also they have them listed as like if you have this, you know, color urine, you're a bad guy. And if you have this color urine, it's just blatant disregard for your teammates. I mean, it's hilarious. And if you look at stuff like that, I mean, it just they have fun with it. And every time I go work out at the stadium, I look at that and I just laugh every time. I think it's hilarious. But they've brought a whole new intensity.
My urine was the color of like the brownest whiskey you can find.
Yeah,
so
you would have been what they call a bad guy, just a bad person,
an awful teammate.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but that's awesome that Muschamp keeps things light in the locker room. And I know I've talked to you tons of times about him and just how you guys joke around and the relationship that you guys have sort of created just as while you played and kept in touch after you played. And I know that that has been awesome for you. Allowed you to, for some reason, continue to work out in the Gamecock weight room and on the facility. So he must think a lot of you. But,
I
think he's done – go ahead.
No, I was just – you know, I just give him shit. And if he ever says anything to me, he kind of gives me shit. And I go, Coach, you know, Coach Spurrier's name is still up on the stadium. It's not yours. I got mine right up there. That's what I tell him. Yours is in the parentheses. Yeah, yours is there too. We just they can't see it because of the fans. It gets so crowded in the games and stuff. But
it's just bad location.
You gotta look really hard. but that's fine.
That's awesome. But anyway,
one more thing about Coach Muschamp too, and what it means to specialists, right? Is you have I've talked with so many kickers this past year, where they have their coaches who like don't even know their names. Like they'll be the starting kicker for 3 years, and their coaches don't talk to them at all. Coach Muschamp and even Coach Spurrier, for that matter, right, are just best friends with the specialists. They love the specialists. I mean, it's awesome. You know, they joke with us all the time. They give us shit during the kicks. You know, it's hilarious. But it's actually been incredible that, you know, with all these kicker combines I've gone to the past year, and people tell me kind of about their head coaches, just kind of not even, you know, just not even interacting with them at all. And I was, you know, makes me a little upset for them, but it makes me, you know, thankful for obviously all the guys that we've had here at Carolina.
Yeah, that is, I think that says a ton about Coach Muschamp, just going out of his way to sort of make you feel like you're part of the team. Everybody knows you're not.
You're not,
you have to win a game for them.
You're not this huge athletic specimen, or sometimes you are like you and me, but you're still on the team. You're still having fun. You know, you get to hold the trophy for like 2 seconds after everybody else has held it and take a picture with it in the locker room. You get to go in there kind of at the end and just steal a pick. Those are always
with all that being said, this week, huge week, Clemson week. Number four in the nation coming into Williams-Brice. Last year it wasn't such a good scene for Coach Muschamp in his first bout.
Yeah, I was there. I can
Tigers.
Vouch for that. It wasn't fun last year. It wasn't good, I would say.
So what 2 years ago in Williams-Brice when they were, I think, a national championship contender,
mm-hmm.
we sort of turned it on. They only beat us by, what, it was like five? I think it was 37-31 or 32 or something like that.
I actually kicked an onside kick at the very end of the game, which I was kind of annoyed about. Not annoyed about, but it was like there was 1 second left. So even if we got the onside, we still just ended the game. But it was kind of like a tricky onside. Like I kind of wanted to save that for like if we needed it later in my career or something. But anyways, we used it, and I just kicked it right to Ben Bulware, and he just fell on it. And I was like, shit, and kind of just ended the game.
Yeah, that's somewhat pointless there because you can't progress a onside kick, only the returning kick.
And we had to score a touchdown the minute they touched it.
Worst thing possible.
It's game over. So I wasn't about it.
Worst thing that happens is they take it to the house. Best thing that happens is we recover it and the game is over.
Yeah, exactly. But we were 3-9 that year and kind of hung with them. And that's kind of why, you know, this rivalry is never really, you know, again, they played in the national championship and we were 3-9 and it was, you know, came down to kind of the last play situation. So it's never, you know, it's never a done deal, especially in the
I think there you have to,
Palmetto rivalry.
Credit the fans at Williams-Brice.
Yeah, I mean, they're just absolute animals. I mean, some people can call them disrespectful. I don't look at it that way. I look at them as heroes. I think they're the best.
Obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously. They're your supporters, so they're your heroes. I'm sure you're a hero to some of them in some sort. I don't know why you would be, knowing you, but
honestly,
I'm sure you are.
I'm cool. But
what is the difference? What do you think the difference is in Clemson week compared to every other week? I think it's just an entirely different atmosphere, not only like in the locker room, not only on the practice field, but in like Columbia as a whole. You know, you go on campus, the entire campus is pumped up, and it is just awesome.
Yeah. Well, the first 2 days, because then everybody goes home for Thanksgiving break. So then you're sitting there, and you're just kind of like by yourself, at least for me. See, I could never go back for Thanksgiving for that little, you know, whatever night we had off on Thursday or whatever. So I was always just stuck in Columbia, and I would always just be, you know, you're sitting there. It's kind of fall. It's probably a little chilly outside, and you're just thinking, you know, it's Clemson week. You know, it's time to roll. And, there's a different feeling in the air, I would say. You know, it's rivalry week, and you know, obviously we want to beat them really bad. They want to beat us really bad. And, you know, you want to roll. You want to get out there and win.
Yeah. That being said, like, it being Clemson week is the only thing that makes that week good. Like, everybody else
yeah.
has Thanksgiving and is out at home with their family. But, no.
Yeah.
I was sitting – I think I ate my last three Thanksgivings, like, while I was in school from my sophomore through my senior year. I ate at Lizard's Thicket by myself.
Okay.
How
no,
like
okay.
I got the meat and three vegetable special with like a side of chocolate milk and just ate by myself,
and
then I that was my Thanksgiving.
That's respectable because I actually I might
special.
Even try to one up you and say that my freshman year I ate at Waffle House. Swear to God, there was I was looking for everywhere and like I couldn't find anywhere that was open, so I sat down and ate Waffle House on Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah,
and they were looking at me like
over.
I was an idiot, and I was like, you know what? I actually really like this. I'm a big Waffle House guy, so screw them.
Me and my roommates were not cooks whatsoever, so
yeah,
we took a trek over across to Casey. You know, the fun-loving
yeah.
city of Casey, across the bridge.
Over there,
and
yeah, across the water. Yeah.
The only thing open, I think the gas stations were closed. The only thing open was Lizard's Thicket, and we were the only people there. There might have been one cook, one waitress, and that was it. But they had the Thanksgiving theme going, and they made you feel at home.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. Do you feel like you, Patrick Fish, were back home in Shelby, North Carolina? I'm going to say you probably say yes. I felt like I was
yeah.
back home in Texas when I was at Waffle House.
Wanda.
Yeah.
Wanda, my waitress, was basically my mother for the night. You know?
Yeah, and
shout out to Wanda.
Yeah, RIP. Yeah, it seems like a great gal.
She's not
I mean,
dead.
Well, we don't know, actually. Have you? Have we been there?
We don't know.
But if she is, RIP. But yeah, she seems like a great gal. You know, out there grinding on Thanksgiving, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what some people have to do. But anyways,
Mama
I know,
house,
back to Clemson.
Shoes. Yeah.
Back to Clemson, I was thinking about this today because I was watching the Redskins game. And
just fall
there
apart,
was always
yeah.
one person that was absolutely prepared for the Clemson game.
And it's
who do you
bingo.
Think it was?
And I'm going to go and I'm going to read your mind
Swearinger.
Here. Not that I – yeah, exactly.
DJ Swearinger, the Jungle Boy.
Jungle Boy swag, absolutely.
And we have – and I've been all over his Instagram, and we have some stellar stuff from just the past, like, two or three weeks that I –
oh, yeah.
I think is hilarious.
The Jungle Book.
Shout
Jungle
out to
Book.
Him because, yeah, last week they played the Vikings. He had two interceptions.
That's two more
this
than I've had in my
had
entire career, and he had it in one game.
This week they had a super tough loss to the Saints, but last week they played the Vikings, and he went lockdown Jungle Boy status. He
yeah.
also had a video I saw on, like, it was all over social media about him talking to some kids on the sideline, and the kid was like, give me three interceptions.
He's like, I'll give
yeah,
you four.
Yeah. I'll give you four. And then
that's,
he, like, sort
yeah,
of
four.
Realized, like, that's a little too much. Like, what
yeah,
kind of kid asked for three interceptions? Kid, if you get one interception, that's good enough, you know?
Yeah, from
maybe
DJ Swearinger.
Like,
yeah. I didn't give any – I never got an interception for a kid. So if they asked me that, I'd say, you know, screw you. Get out of here.
You handed out field goals left and right.
That, well, that's
them.
What I – yeah. Not interceptions, though. Yeah.
But anyways, I was looking at – like I said, I was looking at his Instagram the other day, and after they played the Seahawks, he –
yep.
He had an interception on a two-point conversion. A two-point conversion. It wasn't even like a toss Hail Mary to the end zone for a game-winning touchdown. It was a two-point conversion, and he gets an interception, and he tries to take it back to the house, and he eventually laterals it. But there's a picture of him and, like, Russell Wilson's laying on the ground, and his caption was, hashtag two spoons swagoo. Looks
oh, yeah.
like your Nike's commercial – failed you on this one, Russ. That boy on skates. Put your boy on the commercial. And basically
yeah,
what this means is, Russell, get out them Nikes and put some Under Armours on because you don't deserve to be in those Nikes. And
yeah.
then that boy's on skates. Yeah, ice skate. Breaking
yeah,
ankles.
Because he's fallen, and, idiot.
And DJ
yeah.
apparently wants to be in the Nikes commercial.
Yeah. Well,
put your boy on that
let
commercial.
Me, Fish, let me ask you, have you seen the Russell Wilson commercial that he's talking about?
I don't think so. No,
so it's pretty good, actually. So basically it's Russell Wilson is playing a team, you know, on his home field. He ends up scrambling, and it's kind of, you know, this dark setting, you know, it's kind of rainy outside or something. And he takes his first cut with his Nikes, right? And it just goes circa 1970s roller skating disco music. And all the defenders, he starts juking them out, and they're all on roller skates, skating, like sliding past him. It's actually
a fantastic
commercial. And, that is great.
Great reference to skates by Jungle Boy then.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He's look at that. I mean, where did he pull that from? I mean, this guy's knowledgeable beyond his years. And what he's saying is maybe they should have chose old Jungle Boy in the commercial. I mean, what is, you know, Russell didn't put anybody on skates that game. In fact, it was DJ who put him on the roller skates in the 1970s.
Dude, that is awesome. I love this dude. When we were playing, Spurrier always referred to him as
he's a rah-rah guy. All right,
yep.
Get us going, DJ. Get us up, rah-rah guy.
Yeah, big
and
rah-rah.
And then like
guy.
Spurrier would always call guys rah-rah guys. Like if they would get the team pumped up, or if they were just a little bit extra, he would call like, I was a rah-rah guy. But I was at the same time.
You were huge
for
special teams, though. You were an absolute rah-rah. I mean, you were getting out on the field. You were swagged out. You were yelling at people. Do you remember the game versus Florida my freshman year, where we had some big field goals that year, and we were talking shit to Vernon Hargraves off the edge. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we gave him down the road like after a PAT.
We had no reason to talk shit. I mean, he ended up being like a first round draft pick over at Tampa, and we're just, you know, straight talking shit to him. We don't care. You know, what is he gonna do? Block our kick? Never happened. Nope.
But damn, I was a rah rah guy. But how much? Yeah. I mean, outside of being a rah rah guy for field goals, I'm not gonna be able to pump up the team. I'm the holder. You know what I mean?
To do that in your position. Yeah. Or
the
any.
The best thing I can say. I'm going to get these damn laces around. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to grab it.
The laces.
If there's a high snap, I'm going to grab it and throw it down. And Elliot, I hope he makes it. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
There's not much you
can. I can't go getting like DJ Park's face and grab him by the face mask. And nah, he'd just kick my ass. But we had a ton of rah-rah guys.
Yeah. You have to be good to be a rah-rah guy. You can't be like one of those guys that, it's a rah-rah guy, but he doesn't play, and he's never stepped on the field. Those are the worst kind of rah-rah guys. And everybody who's been on a football team knows exactly who that guy is. You have one picture in your mind of who is that rah-rah guy that everybody's like, why the hell are you here? Are you on the team still? I thought Coach cut you 2 weeks ago. Those guys are the worst.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I was probably that guy that most people are picturing. Like,
no,
Fish.
Maybe. But see, for me, I always looked at you and I was like, yeah, but this guy's funny. And Fish, you're a damn good holder. You know, it's not like you weren't – I mean, you got on the field. It was limited, but you're still there.
It was extremely limited. But
yeah,
I actually touched the ball.
You did. Every field goal.
Points. So,
I guess
we can put some credit behind my name.
You know, who's a low-key rah-rah guy is Landon Ard. The kicker that most of you guys know is Harry Potter, or the kid with glasses. He was a kicker
huge
for us,
rah-rah
big kickoff
guy.
Specialist. And I will tell you what, he gave some of the most incredible pump-up speeches to the kickers before the games. He would absolutely just – I remember my first game here, and I'm going, what is this idiot doing? Like, Ard, what are you doing? He's about to give us a pump-up speech before we go out there, just the kickers. And he – I don't remember what it was about. It's always about snipers and being in the Army. And he related it.
Yeah, like military.
Kicking. Yeah. And I just remember going, oh, my God, this is actually incredible. I mean, he actually got me kind of pumped up to go out there.
Yeah, he looked like the guy that you would cheat on your math test off of. But
absolutely.
Then you put a football helmet on this kid, and guess what?
He goes berserk.
Major rah-rah guy.
Yeah, he's mental, though. I mean, he's insane. Have you ever watched him on a kickoff? He has no regard for anybody in his path or his own body. He would just run full speed at people. Sometimes people would just absolutely demolish him. Sometimes he'd make a tackle. But he
most
had no idea what
people would absolutely demolish him. I remember he got defeated against Arkansas like three times in a row.
Yes, he got absolutely
like three
murdered.
Kickoffs straight. And guess what? Got up, ran down the field again. The next kickoff. Got up, ran down the field on the next kickoff. There was no holding him back. He's a loose cannon out there, and
yeah,
I
absolutely
love it.
And you can't hate a guy like that. I mean, you can't. It's impossible.
Because guess what? He's a rah-rah guy, and Spurrier
exactly
hits the nail on the head. He's damn rah rah guys. We had a bunch of guys like that. Coach Elliott, was the O-line coach when I was there. He would walk into the locker room with blood dripping down his forehead.
Dude, blood on his forehead, and it was because he was headbutting O-linemen on their helmets. He like forgot he didn't have a helmet on, and he would just headbutt people.
That's the definition of a rah rah guy. You know, and that was
absolutely.
I sort of love that just because that's Spurrier's way to sort of take jabs at guys. And
subtle
he would
jabs.
Always
yeah.
just
always
just
subtle jabs.
The best at just doing giving a little subtle jab.
Yep,
when
one of my favorite
was when Coach John Butler came in as a special teams coach. This was way before your time.
Yeah,
and it was his.
I don't even know what it is. So continue.
It was his first week in Columbia. It was his first week coaching the South Carolina Gamecocks. You know, I'm sure his butthole's a little tight. You know, he's a little nervous. I mean, he came from like Harvard to the SEC.
Smart.
So he was pretty nervous, but he we're in meetings, and we're going over kickoff, and he's standing in the front. He's like, "All right, all the guys in the white uniforms, I need you running past the guys in the red uniforms," and immediately Spurrier stands up and blows his whistle in the meeting room. And he says,
coach.
And he starts giggling to himself, and everybody's like, "What? What's going on?" And he says,
"Coach, I know you're new here, but it's garnet. We're not red, coach."
And he starts giggling.
That's
and,
a classic Spurrier reference. I can see all this happening in my head.
And, like, the thing is, even if it really wasn't funny, Coach Spurrier, like, he thought it was funny, so it was automatically funny. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if anybody else would have said that, it wouldn't have been funny whatsoever. But since Coach Spurrier said it, it was hilarious. He always did a couple different things like that.
Well, do you remember, his subtle jab at me, I remember my freshman year, and I was, you know, we were making field goals on the field, right? And I remember I had a bad day of practice once. You were probably right next to me. He goes, he's just kind of chuckling. You know, I missed a field goal, and I was, you know, like, damn it, you know, shit, I missed one. And he kind of looks over me and goes, "Elliot, you start missing like that, they'll call you Elliot the idiot." Yep, Elliot the idiot. And he was just kind of looking around saying, "Elliot the idiot," like, you know, waiting for someone to kind of, like, laugh with him. And I was like, yep, like, damn it, that's a head coach. Tell me I'm an idiot.
He did the same thing with Walker, too, Walker and Abinett. Hey, you know, every time he saw him in the hallways,
"Hey, Walker, I'm Abinett. I'm nabbing it, or you nabbing it?" "I'm nabbing it, or you nabbing it?"
And he'd just sort of mumble it under his breath like three more times.
Yeah, and just walk away. And just,
he wouldn't give you time to sort of chime in and be like, he just didn't really care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He
absolutely didn't care.
But his just little jabs were hilarious. And
there
was something
great
every day. I remember I ran outside like on the practice field one of my first weeks. When I'm at South Carolina, I'm an 18-year-old true freshman. You've got all these people on the practice field watching us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm pretty nervous, have no clue what's going on. And I'm wearing it for some reason. Me, of all the kickers, they give me these bright ass red. They were red, they weren't garnet.
Garnet,
bright,
yeah, they were just bright
red Under Armour cleats.
Shout out Under Armour for no garnet, yeah.
And he comes up and he's like, "Good Lord, I can see you from across the field, fishing." and that's when I knew. I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
First of all,
friend.
He's already given me a nickname. Like,
I
instantly fell in love with him.
Yeah.
But what are you going to be in? Anyways, moving on from Spurrier, I'm trying to figure out some plans for Clemson Week coming up this week, obviously. So where should I be staying? Are you going to be in town? Am I going to be able to stay at your apartment?
Fish, I'm not going to lie to you. And this is probably, you know, this, I'm not proud to say this in some ways, but I'm actually going to be back home in Dallas, Texas for the Clemson game. I haven't had Thanksgiving with my family in 5 years. So I'm heading home. I'm going to lock it down there. I'm going to lock myself in a room on Saturday night and watch the Clemson game by myself.
For the first time in 5 years. Congratulations, dude. Now you go home. You know what
I mean? Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know.
It's more than football.
Yeah, it just means more. You know, it's SEC football. But so I haven't been home in a while, you know, not for Thanksgiving anyways. And so I'm going to go see the fam, you know, check in how they're doing. But you bet your ass I'll be watching, and I'll be screaming as well.
All right. You'll be there in spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make the trek down, that 2-hour drive from Shelby, North Carolina, and I'm coming in hot on Friday afternoon, and we are just going to get after it. And
you sideline
if we pull the upset
it?
Of the century, I'm not sideline passing it. I'm just full on tailgating it.
I hear
not
you.
Even,
okay.
I'm not even getting a ticket. I'm just
big
going full
guy.
On tailgate, and I'm going to be immediately downtown as soon as we kick their ass, as soon as they blow the final whistle and it's
absolutely.
Gamecocks win by a
you're just going to transport. It's going to be like a
yard
thing,
field
like,
goal.
Oh, I would love it if old Parker White just ended Clemson's playoff run. That would be on a field goal. I'd lose it. I'd be so happy.
I would love that. I met him last week when I was on the sidelines for the Florida game, and he seems like an awesome kid. So that would be phenomenal.
Good kid, yeah.
I would go nuts. But anyways, I'm staying in the tailgate. I'm not leaving, and I am just getting wrecked and getting after it for when they blow that final whistle and your Gamecocks finish on top.
Cox on top. Cox by 90 even. I mean, you could go as far to say that. Cox by 90.
I honestly think it'll be a close game just because it always is in Williams-Brice, just like we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely.
When we were like, what were we, 3-8, 3-9?
Yeah.
And we kept it close. I think it'll be
a good game.
Another close one. If our defense can continue to play the way they've been playing and Jake Bentley continues to sling it around, I think it'll be a fun one to watch.
Absolutely. And, you know, our specialists this year have been fantastic at taking, you know, the returners out of the game as far as punt returns and kick returns. You know, we only had, I think, maybe 3 or 4 punts returned on us this year. You know, all just fair catches and stuff. And haven't had a bunch of kick returns either. You know, Parker's been hitting them 18 yards out of the end zone with his huge-ass legs. So.
Because that punt returner is the real deal. What's his name? Like Stormy McCloud or something like that. He's
Rainy McCloud.
Legit, so
the rain comes from the clouds. Yeah. So you know you got to keep them out of the game. You know those are those huge, huge momentum swinging plays that you kind of gotta stay away from them. You know those can lose you a game. You know you have something good going, end up punting and they crib the punt or kickoff. That's a heartbreaker right there.
Game changer. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to go ahead and get off of here. Again, thank you for everybody for tuning in this week. Hopefully we can discuss a Gamecock victory after this game this upcoming weekend over the Clemson Tigers. But, Elliot, it was fun, buddy, and you enjoy your Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving to
and
all
buenos,
those Gamecock listeners
buenos
out there.
Dias. Buenos dias to all the Gamecocks in Mexico, and fish and chips and all that stuff to the people over in the rainy UK. We're signing off for now. We're signing off now, baby. Goodbye.